some of the fight scenes, if you think about the fact that these fight scenes have to happen because there's a guy holding a camera that's following Dev Patel doing this, you know, these camera operators have to have the endurance of Navy SEALs. Hello, it is April 5th, 2024. My name is Daniel Berrios, and I'd like to welcome you once again to another episode of The Movies. Today, we're going to be talking about Dev Patel's directorial debut, Monkey Man. And as silly as that title may look, I have to just come out and say it. This is one of those movies. One of those debuts that I dare say will completely reevaluate the way that we think about this person, Dev Patel, in the same way. And I make this comparison because Jordan Peele produced his movie. When Jordan Peele dropped Get Out, that was a debut that completely redefined what we thought of Jordan Peele. He wasn't just the comedy sketch guy. He was a horror auteur in his own right. And now with three films under his belt, he's considered, you know, one of the big three of modern horror. I've mentioned that in a previous episode. And Dev Patel, I think what made Jordan Peele's effort so, I guess, revolutionary seems like a big term, but just what made it such a breath of fresh air was that it felt like Peele made the movie absolutely knowing that he wouldn't get another chance to do it again. That's the kind of attitude he had going into it. Put everything on the table, no punches pulled, just, you know, wrote the story that was in his heart and his mind and put it out there. And Dev Patel does the same thing. Patel is telling this epic about a guy whose mother was killed. Everything was taken from him at a childhood. And he's been living with the ghosts of that childhood all the way into him being a full-grown man. Like, he's in his 30s, but this is his entire life. He's been seeking revenge against the people who orchestrated the hit on, you know, the town that he and his mother lived when he was a kid, and the people who actually committed the act of murder. And he has only had revenge on his mind. And if I were to tell you that this feels in a way like Ridley Scott's Gladiator just set in modern India, would you believe me? I hope you will after I finish this. But this is one of those movies that it's a very, very simple story, but goddamn, it is told with such fervor and passion and energy that it's fucking undeniable. This movie is a must-see in theaters. Get yourself the biggest crowd possible. This is one of my I feel so lucky. This year is truly shaping up to be one of, like, the all-time greats for me. One of my all-time favorite years for movies. Like, with Dune, this, Love Lies Bleeding, Lisa Frankenstein, I've been eating great this year. So, let me play the trailer for Monkey Man, and let's get on with this thing.
You remember me. Do you even know my mother's name? Do you know any of their names? When I was a boy, they took everything from me. The rich don't see us as people. To them, we're animals.
Both of us. We're broken. a man wishes to challenge the gods, he must become more than a man. He must become a beast. Who is he?
Nobody. Just some crazy kid from the gutter.
He has to be extinguished.
Before your nobody becomes a somebody. Just one small ember can burn down everything.
Make them remember Yami.
Noticing more recently about the talk about this is that we agree, I think as a collective group of folks who have seen this movie, that John Wick in Mumbai is a really easy, marketable way to, you know, describe the movie. It does not, however, completely fill the movie. Primarily in an aesthetic choice. I think with John Wick, because David Leitch and Chad Stahelski have been stuntmen for, you know, I mean, they were stuntmen with Keanu Reeves and The Matrix, and that was in 1989, and John Wick was 25 years later. They brought 25 years of stunt prowess and basically just showed it off. So a lot of what John Wick's fighting is stellar choreography, and it's shot like a ballet. The camera moves with the precision of a ballet because you've got stuntmen and martial artists who have that precision baked in their bones. This movie doesn't operate like that. Not to say that it's sloppy, but so much of this is shot from... In IMDb, they have Dev Patel's character as just Kid, so I'm going to refer to him as that throughout the rest of the episode. So much of this is shot through Kid's perspective that the camera moves with his sort of adrenaline-fueled energy. This is a lot of shaky cam, a lot of handheld work. Some of the fight scenes, if you think about the fact that these fight scenes have to happen because there's a guy holding a camera that's following Dev Patel doing this, you know, these camera operators have to have the endurance of Navy SEALs. You know what I mean? Like, just flipping the camera. Anytime Dev Patel goes over a table, the camera spins over a table with him. He'll, like, get into a fight, and, like, it'll end up on the bar, and the camera will, like, end up slightly tilted on said bar to kind of reflect the, you know, push and pull and the tug. It's so much of this just feels like Patel has, like, the camera attached to him and is just dragging it along. And whenever these fight scenes get super intense, almost, you know, blink and you miss it levels of first-person perspective, not necessarily, like, the point of view, but just every camera move is subjectively stuck to him. And so, you know, this isn't the most pristine camera shoot. This isn't the most pristine cinematography in the world. You know, this is not something that's going to be readily available to catch on first viewing. There are sequences where I found myself just, you know, following the Mad Max Fury Road rule of just stare at the center of the screen and just let each image hit and try to just let your brain catch up with the rest. And this, the editing is fast. It is absolutely wasting no time. It is lean as hell. There's not much of a chance you get with these fight sequences to breathe. And that is so refreshing. And for a movie that reportedly cost only $10 million, some of the shit they're able to pull off with locations, with huge wides, like wide shots, the stunt work,
excuse me,
the props, all of it just stuns me. You know, and the fact that from what I've read, Dev Patel talking about this thing, it was an incredibly difficult shoot. I mean, you hear that all the time, but when you see the effort on screen and sort of the miracle that it took to pull some of this off, you know, this guy had financiers backing out of the movie. He had equipment breaking, and he would have to go into more handheld, like cell phone footage and sort of handheld cameras, the sort of hobbyist line of cameras, just to keep production going. You know, it reads in the film, like every single performance doesn't waste a time. It's just there to show off, you know, all the stunts and all the fighting and all the aggression. And it's a miracle that that stuff hits, but also hits in a narratively fulfilling way, in a way that benefits character. That whenever the movie does need to slow down and does need to create moments for Dev Patel's character to reflect on his past, learn from it, grow from it, basically break himself down in order to rebuild himself as something different, as, you know, a revolutionary, as a man of the people, like somebody who can stand as a symbol for the working class, you know, rising up against their upper class overlords. That the movie gives the time to do that too, and allows, and the camera is like much slower and more patient and letting him just kind of act in a scene. And, you know, I would say nothing like story wise, as far as beats, are really surprises. This stuff does follow a pretty archetypal hero's journey, but so much of the detail with it, so much of the power of the performance, it just bleeds through. Again, it's a really impressive just creation, an impressive form of craft to see Patel pull this off on his first fucking swing. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. A couple of things I was thinking about. I was thinking about the motifs of the duality established by there's moments when I think Kid ends up meeting this sort of religious guru. There are two religious gurus in the film. One of them is this guy whom is sort of the figurehead of religious piety in India, but he's absolutely, you know, working with the majority political party. Like it's a society where religion is influencing people to vote for certain politicians. It, you know, it's basically like the evangelical churches that we have here, you know, endorsing Donald Trump or some bullshit like that. It very much reflects a society where that sort of religious fervor makes you a better person if you choose to side politically with their endorsements. It's a character who is so claiming to be humble. You know, nobody who's humble ever says they're humble. It's all an ego play. And this guy is an interesting villain because he's proposed as like arguably the worst And I think that is because of his position and his sort of perversion of something that should be sacred and something that should be of the people. You know, the natural order is there to, like, defend the plight of every person, but this one has been exploited and used for the benefit of the few. And so there's that religious figure. And then there's another one that Kid meets later in the movie, which is more, like, down to earth with what you'd expect. Just, you know, a helper, somebody who can challenge Kid to look past the trauma of his past and sort of use that to, you know, build himself back up. And so there's this a great sequence where they're talking about Shiva, and they're talking about the blurs between, you know, gender and the light and darkness, the idea of creation and destruction, and how, you know, if you want to create something good, sometimes that destruction is absolutely needed. You know, you can't clean a mess without making a little bit more of a mess. You have to get to the root of the problem and scrape that out and vacuum it and, you know, tear it to shreds before then you can start building anew. And so I found myself watching the movie through that type of lens too. You know, there's the dichotomy of these intense action sequences that are full of just shaky camera movements and a lot of gore effects and blood and all the sort of, like, salacious, enticing elements that we expect from, like, a rated R action movie. But then the movie slows down so deeply in order to really tackle the root of this guy's trauma and be patient. And it expects you to be patient with this guy as he sort of learns to become more than just a wounded child. This is now someone who grows up to take that pain and become a man in his own right and become, you know, a symbol that other people can follow. The Hanuman, the monkey man, you know. A lot of mythology I was sort of learning through this, a lot of Hindu mythology of, like, the Hanuman and Rama and Ravan, the demon king, and there's a whole bunch of these, like, epic plays that reminded me of stuff like Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey, you know. All the sort of Western mythologies that we bring up, you know, the Roman gods and the Greek gods, that type of deal, you know, this is another type of, like, archetypal epic poem. You know, this is another Beowulf type of thing. And what this one does is just use those epic poems to sort of reiterate the movie starts out with this wonderful boxing ring, this underground illegal boxing ring helmed by fucking Charlton Copley in just a wonderful scene-chewing turn, as he's wanting to do, describing that in this place, religion and your upbringing don't matter because we all worship the Indian rupee. It's that thesis statement of people creating divisions in order to distract from the real stratifying element, which is, you know, class, which is money. Who has access to resources? That's what separates us. And if you as a working class were to ever bond together and, you know, leave religion aside and leave, you know, where you come from aside, then that would create true change. And we see that throughout the movie as sort of the legend of this person who comes from the forest, who comes from nothing, ends up enacting this revenge plot against the most powerful people in the city, and then further inspires riots and political protest against the ruling majority, who frankly couldn't give a flying fuck about the working class. You know, I love that this is a movie where, you know, this is a movie that's soaked in bleach. You know, this is, you can almost smell the stink of chemicals that, you know, the janitors and the people who clean and the undervalued and the exploited have to deal with on the daily. You know, that texture is there. It's gross. You know, you look at Dev Patel's hands in this, and there are a lot of scars on there, but also just so much bleach, and he's scrubbing toilets and floors, and he's cleaning dishes, and he's cooking, and there's like oil, and just, again, a lot of viscosity in this thing, and I just found that to be just a great way to create character. You know, anytime they cut back to the bleach box, I found that being some weird sort of symbol of superpowers. It's almost like his emblem. You know how Batman and Superman and the Flash have their emblems on their chest? I almost imagine the kid just has a box of bleach. And just what a shorthand for how, class divides us. Because while other people at the top are like snorting coke and, you know, drinking these champagne, this dude is in the basement with boxes and boxes of this cheap-ass bleach, scrubbing and, like, busting his hands and breaking himself open for what he now is aiming for, this grander purpose of, you know, avenging the death of his mother. And the movie, I would say, maybe takes a little bit too much time in revealing the full scope of what happened. But when you see what happens, it's intense shit. You know, that's one of the things I loved about this too, that Dev Patel does not shy away from what makes this movie tick and from what really the emotion is coming from. You know, you feel for this kid. He's stunted in that way. And, you know, you could tell based on the way that he's navigating through rich society that he's got a wonderful head on his shoulders, you know, a big hustler's mentality, super kind, unassuming, but coy. And he's always looking in the background. He's always keeping an ear out, trying to get the advantage by hearing and picking up on these little details and remembering them for later. Sometimes I would say one of the directorial weaknesses of Patel is that his plants and payoffs can be a little too obvious and a little too frequent, but the amount of details that Patel is willing to share and show on screen, just, you know, sometimes it's kind of annoying, but most of the time I found myself just enjoying the fact that, oh, you know that this detail is there and you're willing to explain this to us in a way that's not just someone telling you what's happening. There's a little bit of visual storytelling that's showing how some things get about, and that works for me. Patel has never been more intense. He's pulling like a Jake Gyllenhaal Nightcrawler situation. I wouldn't say it's as good as that performance, but the intensity with which he goes to this and the magnetism which he brings on screen is, again, undeniable. This is a cast that's got a bunch of solid hitters, too. What's the guy's name who plays the short, like, boss that he is? It's sort of this middleman in this hotel management chain owned by the corrupt rich folks. This middleman named Alfonso, played by Pete Obosh, who's essentially, like, this is going to be reductive, I'm sorry, but, like, Indian Danny DeVito. He's just got that energy. He's such a shithead, and he's trying desperately to look the part and play the part, even though he knows that he'll never fit in with these people. A lot of great comic relief from him. I found myself enjoying Vipin Sharma as Alpha. The villains in this movie actually really work for me. Two of them specifically, Sikander Kerr, as the police chief who was there executing, you know, the events that would lead to the kid's death. He plays the police chief. And this guy's just, you know, first off, it's a great presence. You know, this big beefy mustache and the hair that's like tight, and he just looks like a hard ass, and he fights like a hard ass. He fights like a brawler, an absolute bruiser. And that guy's a great intimidating force to pair against Dev Patel. Because even though Dev Patel is taller than most of the people in the movie, he's still lean. And this dude's like a beefcake. So yeah, it's pretty cool to see him. get sadistic and get misogynistic and just, he's a great dude to hate. That's a fantastic fucking villain to hate, man. Just heavyweight, really, really having a great time with this role. I also really enjoyed Ashwini Kalsakar, who plays the manager of the hotel, because she is foul-mouthed, speaking a million words a minute, completely disrespectful to everybody around her. It's one of those moments when if she's on screen and she's just either tearing somebody to shreds, like verbally, or like she's pulling out a gun on people at some points, she was just a massive presence, and I loved watching her throughout the thing. I would say one of the weaknesses of the movie is that most of the female characters don't really get a chance to shine. I mean, the kid's mom, played by Aditi Kalkunte, she's great in the scenes that she has, but it's not really enough. And there's a sort of pseudo love interest or like kinship. One of the escorts in the hotel, like managed by the hotel, this is one of those high-end places where they bring in women from like all around the world and bring them together to sort of seduce and to entertain the rich gentlemen that frequent there. I think the character's name is Sita. She's played by Sopita Dhulipala. And again, she's good. It's just the character is sort of reduced down to, at one point, just the person who knows the seediness of the underbelly and, oh, you, Dev Patel, don't know what you're getting into. You need to run away from this now. And when he doesn't run away, it's essentially just like, oh, no, I'm victimized by this and I'm just going to take my beating quietly and bide my time. I don't know. I feel like there needed to be just a little bit more with that character to get me super invested. I wouldn't say it's a total fault just because of the way the movie's structured, but I think it would benefit the film to have a little bit more of like a wider reach than just that sort of hyper-focus on Dev Patel and the symbol that he's creating with the Monkey Man. I mean, I like the costuming. Anytime he puts the Monkey Man mask on, that thing is really expressive. Especially near the end of the movie where he starts getting more confident in his fighting, you can almost see him act through the mask, like the way his eyes move. And you can almost see the mask move with him too. It's kind of like old Spider-Man comics when like the eyes would get really big and expressive, that type of shit. That was something that stuck out to me. And, you know, you get a solid movie about, you just get a, like a solid action movie set after John Wick. There's gonna be some neon hotel room dancing and these beautiful colors just like shining on a guy's face. And that type of stuff is always enticing to me. It's always fun to watch. You've got just these grand shots. Actually, what I really liked about this was Dev Patel's inserts. There are like these little quick glimpses of like insert shots, like they'll be fighting and then it cuts to like a fish reacting to a loud noise. And it is just so off the wall and random that it made me giggle. You know, there are moments of humor just sprinkled within like these natural action scenes that are put at the right moments to kind of like put little codas on sections of action sequences. Like, maybe the first section ends with, like, a little, like, half joke, which doesn't distract, and it doesn't bring down the energy at all. It's just kind of, like, a weird, awkward, like, oh, that's a strange way for it to go. And as crazy as the action gets, and, you know, as creative as Dev Patel gets with some of the action that he's doing and using props around him, these little moments that break the sort of hypnotism of something like that and kind of remind you like, oh yeah, this is just some dude who's trying to take down essentially, you know, a political and religious empire is, I don't know, it humanizes him even more and it makes him feel more like the everyman rather than just like another superhero, so to speak. And I find myself saying that I'm kind of, I feel like I'm rambling on a little bit. So I'm going to close out with a thought that I had. The end of the movie really got me. And it got me because I found that the whole movie is just like a celebration of mothers and their effort in not just, you know, taking care of kids or whatever, but like building the foundation, the roots as described in the movie. You know, this is a movie using mythologies about a monkey dude like flying to grab a giant juicy mango out of the sky that he decides is the sun. And so in an act of Promethean sort of violence, the gods shun him and burn him and remove his powers. But on the flip side, again, we're talking about the duality of like creation and destruction. On the flip side, everything with mothers is talking about the roots of the earth and the foundation and the things that make you who you are, the things that give you strength. And just, I found the end of the movie to be really moving because it really is a celebration of the hard work and devotion that mothers have for their children. And there's an allusion there that describes them almost as gods. And that really hit me. You know, as somebody who isn't really a man of faith, to have, you know, through thinking about my wife and how much she adores our children and how hard she works and how I notice her efforts working through the way my son interacts with the world and takes care of his sister and behaves, you know, there's still a learning progress because he's a kid, but the best parts of that kid come from her. And so seeing these images that reflect the idea of like the effort that mothers have in raising their children are so, you know, worthy of praise that they should be exemplified with the kind of worship one would reserve for gods. It was nice finally letting myself settle into a feeling that, oh yeah, there is something in my life that I can feel that convicted about and feel that proud of and in awe, be in awe of. And it's, you know, my mom, it's my wife, you know, just mothers are like gods. And it made me cry. It actually made me tear up. This is the first movie this year that's made me do that. And yeah, man, Monkey Man. It's just elicited so many thoughts. It's one of those movies that it is best seen with a crowd. I think it tells a simple story incredibly well. Dev Patel is such a strong performer and such a strong writer and director that I just can't wait for more. I know there has to be more. Come on. And even if there isn't more, I think this movie still stands head over shoulders on its own as like a proud entry into this sort of like filmic landscape. Yeah, that's it for me. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of The Movies. If you'd like to follow me, please do so on Twitter at @themovies_pod. You can hit me up there and, you know, chat about what you thought of Monkey Man. Hopefully you've seen it. And if you haven't, please go see it and then let me know what y'all think. As far as the way I'm going to end the episode, there are a couple wonderful needle drops in Monkey Man, but I didn't want to spoil any of those. So I took a similar vibe. I'm going to bring it back to an all-time classic. This is Kendrick Lamar's Mad City off of his seminal work, Good Kid, Mad City. And I feel it describes some of what Dev Patel's character is going through pretty well. The dichotomy of like trying to be a good person in an environment that absolutely celebrates the wrong choices. So yeah, this is Kendrick Lamar, Mad City. My friends, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and take care of the movies.
If Pyros and Crips all got along, they probably got me down by the end of the song. Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak, yak,
yak, yak. Man down, where you from, nigga? Fuck who you know, where you from, my nigga? Where
off, I take you on a trip down memory lane. This is not a rapper, I'm slinking crack or moon cocaine. This is cul-de-sac and plenty cognac and major pain. Not the drill sergeant, but the stress that weighing on your brain. It was me, El Boogie, yeah, yeah, YG Lucky. Ride down Rosecrans, it got ugly. Waving your hand out the window, check yourself. Warriors and Conan's, hope euphoria can slow. That's what society, the driver seat, the first one to get killed. Seen a light-skinned nigga with his brains blown out at the same burger stand with same gout. Now this is not a tape recorder saying that he did it, but ever since that day I was looking at him different.